May we join in the responsive reading this wonderful psalm of praise, Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits.
Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases.
Who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies.
Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles.
The Lord executes you in righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed.
He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel.
The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy.
He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him.
As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us.
Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Let us join together as we pray. Our Father and our God, for the beauty of this psalm, for its depth of thought and feeling, we offer our thanksgiving, asking that it may stir in our hearts the spirit of gratitude, of praise, of thanksgiving to Thee. Thou art God, and beside Thee there is no other. We are thine, for thou hast created us for thy praise and formed us for thy glory. We acknowledge thy countless mercies and blessings, and we pray that our minds may be stimulated to think thy thoughts, our hearts warmed to feel something of thy presence and thy grace and thy love, and our wills surrendered wholly to the will of thy Spirit. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen.
Who one God.
This is Thanksgiving week. Let me ask you to join with me for these moments of meditation and reflection on thoughts about Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is so much more than a holiday. It is a spirit. It is a response. It is an experience. It ought to be a sacrifice of praise. Apart from the celebration in the true spirit of gratitude, Thanksgiving becomes empty and utterly meaningless. Perhaps a few thoughts may be stimulated by inner reflection, self-examination, thinking of ourselves. What place does Thanksgiving have in our living the Christian life? What place does it have in our praying? What place in our worship? What place in our ministry? What place in our encounter with life, with success and failure and tragedy and disappointment and discovery and mistreatment and hardship? Is it true that there is a surprising poverty of a grateful spirit in our hearts? I do not mean to suggest that we do not say thanks. Words are so easy, sometimes so empty, and yet words are necessary. What about the keen awareness of the goodness of God and the abundance of His goodness? Are we caught up ever in an overwhelming sense of the reality of His mercy and grace? Are we moved to pour out our hearts just in loving thanksgiving with an intensity and reality because of the wonder of God's mercy to us? If our hearts condemn us, and who of us would say that he is guiltless, what is the explanation? Can it be that we are too much caught up in the spirit of our times? Is it possible that we are too preoccupied with so many things that we forget the source of these things? Is it not true that gratitude suffers most in the midst of abundance? I'm sure that all of us would like to join the psalmist in saying, "I will give thanks unto the Lord." Not merely to celebrate a holiday, but in response to God's goodness and mercy. Surely we have compelling reasons to give thanks to God. First of all, because of the immeasurable goodness of God to the sons of men. His blessings are innumerable. Every good and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father. His gifts to us. He gives to all men liberally and upbraids not. There is a song known to all of us, quite familiar. Not a hymn of special dignity and beauty, but a song of very real meaning and relevance for us, by which we are admonished to count our blessings, to name them one by one. Who could ever do this? Our memory is too short, our sensitivity too dull, our imagination too limited, our time too scant. We could never count all the blessings and name them one by one? What mind of man could ever grasp the reach of God's goodness and the number of his blessings? But we can think, and we ought never to forget, never to cease stretching our minds to try to recall, to try to think, to try to understand the areas in which the goodness of God has been poured out. The warp and woof of life is made gloriously beautiful by the abundance of the blessings of God. We should think of daily necessities supplied by God's abundant provision. And too often we take these for granted. Too often they are forgotten as we complain and grumble and find fault because the abundant things are not more abundant, because the luxurious accommodations are not more convenient, because the steak is not more choice and juicy, because the television is not magnificent color, because the furnishings are not as lavish as those of our neighbors. And we gripe and complain till we see ourselves in relationship to others who have nothing. We complain about food till we see people who have no food. Our clothes until we see those who are naked. Our houses until we see those who have no house in which to live. Along with daily necessities are the countless gifts which enrich our human experience and constitute our human situation. And so many of these, oh, so many of them we take for granted. We should think of light and darkness, of day and night, of sleep and rest and work and play, of wind and rain and heat and cold, of valleys and mountains and fields and streams, of trees and flowers and grass, of the good earth, rich in minerals and gems and chemicals and resources for the needs of mankind. We should think of colors that combine into beauty and sounds that merge into music. We should think of the vast universe reflecting the power and glory and wisdom and presence of God, with the laws which challenge man's genius and which make trustworthy man's research and man's endeavor. We should think of mankind itself, the crown of God's creation, man made in the image of God, with powers of mind and feeling and will. Man created for home and family. Man with capacity to receive love and to give love. Man with capacity for worship and faith. Man created for community and accountability and freedom and fulfillment. Man designed to become the temple of the Holy Spirit and the image of the Son of God's love. Second, we have abundant reason to give thanksgiving to God, because thanksgiving becomes praise for his own glorious nature. And so we should thank him for who he is and what he is like and for what he has wrought in Jesus Christ to accomplish his purpose of eternal redemption and to pour out the riches of his grace for the salvation of men. Let us thank God for his own incomparable greatness. God is the Holy One, absolutely other, infinite in every good. God is absolute truth. God is perfect love. God is spirit, everywhere present, always available, always near. God is the creator of the heavens and the earth. God is the Father of mercies and the God of comfort. God is rich in mercy. His mercy endureth forever. God came in Jesus Christ to save us from our sins. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. God is with us in his Spirit. God in Christ through his Spirit is our wisdom and sanctification and redemption and righteousness. O God, how great thou art. O God, how good thou art. Let us thank God for his kingdom, which is everlasting, for his church, which is imperishable, for his salvation, which is our peace and our hope and our joy, for his discipline, which produces the fruits of righteousness and faith, and for his providences, which are mysteries of divine purpose and perfect love. Oh, the depth, both of the wisdom, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Again, we have abundant reason to give thanksgiving to God because of the reaction upon ourselves and the impact upon the quality of our lives. Thanksgiving is always refining, always ennobling, always sanctifying. A truly grateful person is a genuinely good person. The practice of thanksgiving delivers us from the subtle snare and destructive power of pride. What do we have which we did not receive? What are we, which is our own doing? It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. No wonder we are admonished to enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. We are rich, not because of our merit, but because of God's grace. When we remember our debt, our obligation, when we think of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, when we try to measure something of his long-suffering mercy, when we think of all this, we become humble. And then we are cleansed of self-esteem and self-praise and vainglory. We never succumb to the proud spirit while we are offering a sacrifice of true thanksgiving. You doubtless have heard the story from the experience of Roland Hayes, a famed black singer of international reputation, born under handicap. Having lost his father in childhood, he was reared by a godly, devoted mother. And then ultimately he became famous, known in Europe, invited to sing before the King of Great Britain. And he was elated, and so he cabled his mother about his recognition. And she responded simply by saying, in four words, remember who you are. And if we could remember that we are beggars for grace, that we are the trophies of God's redemption, that we have been saved unto a heavenly calling, how could we ever be exalted with pride before God? The practice of thanksgiving delivers us from the sin and weakness and frustration of self-interest. Love of self can never survive absorbing awareness of the goodness of God and the desire to thank Him and to praise Him for His countless benefits and limitless mercy. And so we are kept from loving ourselves when we love God with gratitude. No man can serve self and God. Either he will hate the one or love the other. Again, thanksgiving helps us to grow in faith, even to the point of trust in the never-failing concern and care of the Heavenly Father, even to the point of trust under the discipline and chastening of the Almighty. We know the trial can become the medium of blessing, and so we can keep on exalting and boasting and glorying in God, because we know that tribulation can produce endurance. And endurance can lead to tested, tried experience. And such experience can lead to hope. And hope will not be disappointing, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Thanksgiving reacts on us to produce a deepening sense of stewardship for the mercies of God. And so we are moved to share, and we are constrained to witness and tell what great things the Lord has done for us and how He has had mercy on us. And we are inspired to live obediently and faithfully so that thanksgiving becomes thanks living. There are some blessings we cannot receive apart from gratitude. And so I remind you of the 10 lepers. And they were all cleansed. And they went away, rejoicing that they had been made clean. But one of them came back with a grateful heart. And to that one, Jesus could say, "Thy faith, your faith has made you whole." And so there is blessing to be received only by the grateful heart. This is Thanksgiving week. And I wonder about our choice of values. I wonder about my own and the things anticipated for tomorrow. And I think of past experience, and I try to think of the reality of thanksgiving. And I remind you of that time when Jesus came to visit with devoted friends, and they were anxious to show their affection and their love in every way they could, perhaps, I suppose so. But there was a difference in the way they tried to express their devotion. And Martha was very busy preparing a very elaborate meal. And she was somewhat impatient because Mary sat at the feet of Jesus, listening, loving, yearning, enjoying. And when Martha came to protest and say, "Mary is neglecting her duty and what she might do to help with the responsibilities for our guest," Jesus replied and said, "She has chosen the better part." I wonder if in our celebration of Thanksgiving, there can be a quiet half hour away from concern for a very delicious meal, away perhaps from other obligations and responsibilities, just to sit in quietness, but in deep penetrating thought about the marvelous grace of God, about the countless mercies of God, about His immeasurable goodness and greatness, just trying to reach up with grateful hearts to praise Him. And by so doing, a practice which ought to become a part of our living day by day, we remember the mercies of God, and we are constrained to present our bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is our spiritual service, our true worship. And thus we prove what is that good and acceptable will of God. And thus life is turned into an anthem of praise unto our God and our Father. Our Father in heaven, for these moments together when we could try to think afresh of Thy forgiveness, of Thy patience, of Thy long-suffering kindness, of Thy constant care, of Thy abundant provision, of our life situation which is so full of Thy glory and Thy goodness, kindle afresh in us the grace of gratitude, that we may go from this place resolved to try to live gratefully before the Lord. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen.